This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Welcome to the Friday show. We'll get you ready for the first game for the South Florida Bulls in the AAC tournament. They'll be going up against, not Tulsa, East Carolina, the Pirates, who beat the Bulls in the first round last year, defeated Tulsa in a nail-biter on Thursday afternoon. It was the sixth time in a row that East Carolina has defeated Tulsa. Game came down to the wire and improved the Pirates to 15-17. Tell you more about it in just a little bit. You'll hear a little bit of Amir Abdur-Rahim on his team's mindset. You'll even hear from the opposing head coach on what they view going into this one. It is for certain now, if it wasn't already, that the Bulls are going to have to win the AAC tournament. This is a year where if now you're just sort of coming to the party, you realize maybe what I've realized for a long time, that the NCAA tournament would benefit from expanding the field. I know generally people don't root for that, don't want that, but I get it. If you care more about your bracket than you do the actual teams in the bracket, then yeah, you just want to get right to the games. But we are going to see a record number of deserving good teams get left out. It's uncanny this year how everybody pretty much on the bubble is winning. So the argument that by expanding the field, you're just putting in a bunch of mediocre teams. No, it's not the case. You are leaving out a lot of really, really good teams. And I'll give you some that are even worse off than the Bulls as far as teams that did great during the regular season that are probably going to have to head to something other than the NCAA tournament. So the Bulls have got to pull it off. And a result later on Thursday, improves the look of the draw for the Bulls. But of course, they have to focus on the first game first. We'll get into all of that. We'll also give you an update on the women's basketball postseason hopes and kind of what's going on in the national scene and how it might affect those. Baseball was in action on Wednesday night. Got a big win against Maine. Give you some highlights and a preview of what should be a challenge this weekend against NC Greensboro. You can tell my voice is a little off. Just had a little bit of a head cold. Nothing bad. We should be ready to call the baseball games on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. Meanwhile, softball will be out of town. We'll tell you what their second conference challenge, and it'll be a challenge indeed, is going to entail. More tennis taking place earlier this week, a win for the women's side that we'll describe for you. And big time track and field today and tomorrow, the outdoor season, and the Bulls are hosting their alumni invitational. They'll have some outstanding alumni that they're going to recognize this weekend. We'll give you the rundown for all of that. And we'll also, here as we give you the preview of the Bulls and East Carolina, play some of the highlights when the teams met each other the first time around. This was right in the midst of when things were starting to look like they could be pretty special for the Bulls. It was the sixth game of their eventual 15-game winning streak. They had just taken care of UTSA in a game where they didn't have to come back to win. That was the 89-72 victory. And this one, East Carolina, it was a pretty rabid crowd. Kept pushing. The Bulls had answers every single time.
Youngblood, spin move, gets it to the free throw line. Now to Stroud. He'll load up a lefty three, rattles it in. Brandon Stroud breaks the ribbon on this one with a triple, and the Bulls lead 3-0.
And as we've seen in recent games, great ball movement to get a good shot.
Here's a pass on the interior to Stroud. Kick in the corner. Back out in the left wing. Good by Chris Youngblood. A triple. A quick trigger three. And the Bulls, with back-to-back threes, lead 6-0.
Well, the Bulls coming off a game with a hit. A school record 18 threes. They are now 2-for-2.
Knox. He goes baseline. Out to Reed. Moves it to Youngblood in the corner to Pryor. Spots up for three. Got it! Great ball movement again. All five players touch it.
I'm telling you, it's something to witness. When the Bulls whip the ball around the perimeter, get an open shot. That time it was Cason Pryor. The Bulls now 3-of-3 from long range.
Shuffles it over to Youngblood. Right side three by Kobe Knox. That rattled out, and a backside offensive rebound by the Bulls. There's Stroud with a putback, and the Bulls are on top. 11-0, and a timeout by East Carolina. What a great start by the green and gold away from home.
This place is like a church. It is deathly quiet, and why not?
One-handed pass to Selton Miguel. Left side to Youngblood. Pass inside to Pryor. A lot of contact. He got met up high and came down with it. No call. Picked up by East Carolina. Here's Brandon Johnson. Left side pass Pettiford to the baseline. Leaves it inside. Panito with a layup. And East Carolina has cut it to two. ECU on a 7-0 run. 5.5 to go. Chris Youngblood leaves it left wing to Selton Miguel. He's going to launch a long three. Got it! Right on cue. Selton Miguel over Cam Hayes.
Bulls needed that one.
Kobe Knox inbounds to Jaden Reed. Shot clock already down to 10. He crosses midcourt. You can hear the bench yelling. Drifting right around two guys to the basket. Now to Kobe Knox. One-handed dunk. Oh, he went up the ladder for that one. His head scraped the ceiling. Kobe Knox.
That was Kobe Knox's nastiest dunk.
Jaden Reed, the true freshman point guard who's been getting by people today, goes to the high post to Kobe Knox. Squares to the basket. Rip move. Goes to the basket. Off the window and in. And East Carolina is not able to stay in front of the guys in green tonight.
Kobe Knox continues to be a major offensive force. He's got 4 points and really playing exceptionally well.
Kobe gets cut off. Now here's Youngblood coming off a screen. Fires a three. Splashdown for number three. Chris Youngblood so quick on the release. A high-arcing three, and it's 35-20. 13-0 run. Stroud drives into pressure and turns it over. Here's an outlet to Brandon Johnson. They're going to throw an alley-oop, and this is going to result in a dunk.
Well, that gets the crowd going, as alley-oops tend to do. And the Pirates have cut the USF lead to 6, 48-42.
It was down to 2. That was as close as it's been. Here's Stroud losing it again, going between two guys.
Bulls are really, really playing careless with the ball since they had that 10-point lead.
Right now it's at 8. Pettiford with it on the logo. Leaves it right side. Dribble penetration by Azar. Layup is good, and he got fouled. Free throw is good. Rattled it in. It's 50-45. Full court pressure with Azar on Pryor. Poked at it from behind. Pryor runs it down on the handle. Bounce pass to Kobe Knox. He threw it away. Here comes Hayes back the other way. He's going to throw a lob. Azar tried to dunk it. It's tipped and knocked away into the hands of Jose Placer. Lead pass to Celton Miguel. He throws a lob to Knox, and he gets undercut, and there's going to be the foul.
Wow, that was a lot happening in both sides of the court.
Yeah, 50-45, 10-10 to go in this game. Here's Kobe Knox out on the perimeter. Right side pass to Celton Miguel. Crosses over. He's going to get to the paint. Poked at. It's still loose. He got it back. Dumps it off to Youngblood. Into the corner. Pryor wide open for three. Let's fly. Good! Cason Pryor needed that in the worst way.
Splashdown. And the Bulls have built their lead back to 8, 53-45.
Just his second made field goal of the game. He's got 6 points and 8 rebounds. Here's Hayes. He's going to elevate from 15. Take a bad shot and a rebound number 9 by Pryor. Chris Youngblood on the left wing with it. And he beats his man off the dribble all the way to the basket. Pinedo was trailing him, and Youngblood with a righty layup on the left side. He's got 18.
Just like that, Bulls back up by 10.
Felton up and under, reverse layup. Missed it, and Pryor there to clean up the rebound again. Double figures and rebounds. Celton Miguel quickly the other way. He's going all the way to the basket. Bounce pass in the corner to Youngblood. Now to Pryor. He's going to load up a three. Good! Cason Pryor has come alive in Greenville.
Welcome to Greenville, Mr. Pryor. His offense has come alive all of a sudden, and the Bulls are back up by 13. Timeout, East Carolina.
Did he think this was an 8:30 start tonight? Because we did start at 7.
I don't know, but the alarm has gone off, and he's answered it.
Celton crosses over Vungo. Down to the baseline. Gets him in the air, then off the window and in. And Celton Miguel just took the freshman to school. I don't know what's French for juked, but it applies here.
Or French for yo-yo, because Miguel had him on the yo-yo that time.
It's loose on the floor, and the first guy down there is Kobe Knox to get it, and the Bulls force a turnover, number 11 by the Pirates. Boy, how demoralizing that is for Michael Schwartz as he takes a long walk back to his bench.
Yep, coming out of a timeout to turn it over like that, trailing by 15, that's pretty discouraging.
Bulls will have 20 on the shot clock here, 7:39 on the game clock. Kobe looking underneath, nothing available, lobs it into Cason Pryor. Between the legs a couple times. He's going to elevate and fire from 17. Yes! Cason Pryor again.
Pryor was feeling it. It looked like a forced shot at first, but buries it, and he has a double-double.
Cason Pryor now 11 points, 10 rebounds, and for him his fourth double-double of this season. 7:17 left. Bulls have their largest lead, 62-45.
And I definitely wanted to include when East Carolina had a 4-on-1 to cut it to 3, just to stress how that game was kind of hanging in the balance, and the Bulls had every answer, ended up winning 71-60. Chris Youngblood, 20 points, made 4 threes. Cason Pryor was 3-for-5 on threes, 14 points and 11 rebounds. Celton Miguel, 14 off the bench, as he is wont to do. On their side, their normal top players did not have a great offensive game. So you got to remember, they're going to be coming. R.J. Felton was just 4-for-17, double figures, but again, not on good shooting at 13 points. And Ezra Azar, the big man underneath, who had a huge game against Tulsa, was held to 7 points and 3 rebounds for that matter. a guy who gets double-doubles almost every time these days, Brandon Johnson, 6-6. So you're going to have a motivated team and a team that has memories of beating, although it wasn't all the same Bulls, beating the Bulls in the AAC tournament. And this is the time of the year when you can have somebody that you're not even talking about step up and hurt you. And let's just hope it's nothing like what happened at the end of the first half last year.
Here's Miguel on the perimeter. Looks for a screen from Russell Chiwa. Crosses over. Now he crosses over again. Gets to the hoop and it's good. Wow, he just undressed the defense.
Yeah, a lot of very clever moves by Felton Miguel as he went left, went right, went back right again.
7 minutes to go first half. Felton stopped at the elbow. Another left side pass. Jump shot is good. Kasim Ungnog.
The one guy you hoped wouldn't make a shot.
Yeah. Here's Keyshawn Bryant with an offensive foul. And any contact right now in East Carolina is flinging themselves backwards. And now with 3 minutes to go, they just give up another three. Kasim Ungnog with the triple. His second of the game. And now you're talking about a guy there who averages 1 point per game. Walker drives in against Tyler Harris, elevates, and that's way off. Oh, he banked it in. Well, that shot was way off, and I guarantee he didn't plan on banking that. 4 seconds to go. ECU with the basketball. 2 seconds to go. They launch a three, and a foul that banked in. Oh, my God. What a first half by ECU.
Oh, this is when you know things are going your way.
Yeah.
That was just a complete prayer that banked in.
Kasim Ungnog was the guy, and that's his third three of the half. He's got a career high in the first half. He makes the free throw to complete the four-point play, and Joey, the Bulls, after completely dominating this game for the first 10 minutes, completely got outplayed in the next 10 minutes and trail 41-33. Almost inconceivable how this game has flipped.
Why am I playing that sequence? Well, just to show you that you could have a better team and the other team could just have some fluky stuff happen. Good young man, by the way, David Kasanungwai, but yes, had never scored more than 9 points in a game. That was in February of 2020 when he was a player at Navy. You heard him make those three threes. He had sunk a couple in the first month of the season and none, you know, in the months of December, January, or February until that happened. So he's not on the team anymore. It's probably a good sign, but they do have some definite talent on that ECU roster. R.J. Felton is their leader. He scores 17 points a game, good free throw shooter, picks up 6 boards a game, and hits around 36% on threes. He and Brandon Johnson are legitimate three-point shooters. Johnson also has some size to him, averages 14 points and a team high, 8.5 boards. And Ezra Azar averages 11 points and 4.5 rebounds. Boy, he was unstoppable underneath for East Carolina and went off for 28 and 10. Clearly the Pirates tried to establish that against Tulsa underneath, and surely they'll do it again against the Bulls. Here's some of their head coach in his second year after coming as a very respected assistant from Tennessee, Michael Schwartz.
We knew we have to get to the paint, whether it's offensive rebounding, whether it's driving the basketball or throwing the ball down low to Ezra, Brandon, and RJ. These are our three guys that we post. You know, Brandon's not up here with us, but those three guys we have full confidence in, and a lot of teams use a double team like Tulsa did tonight, and I thought our guys did a good job getting it out of there, but we're not going to win a three-point shooting battle versus anybody. Tulsa hits 10 threes or 11 threes, whatever they hit tonight. That's never our game plan going in. You know, we're going to shoot it, but we knew we have to get to the paint, and I thought these two guys and Brandon did a great job of it. They're the league champs. They've had a great season. Just their whole, you know, Amir and their team, their players, a lot of respect for them, and so we know it's a great test for us.
And you'll hear from Coach Amir Abdurrahim in just a second. Again, the Pirates edged Tulsa 84-79. That game was actually tied in the final minute. Pirates were the better seed. The 8th seed just felt like Tulsa with the winning record might have the edge, especially after what we saw in Tulsa on Saturday. And P.J. Haggerty was great with 29 points. But East Carolina had a lot of answers. They were up 10 with about 14 minutes to go. Tulsa rallied like they did against the Bulls, but the Pirates had the answer. A breakaway dunk tilted the rim, so there was this long delay, and the Pirates came out of it just barely better. Key shot with 34 seconds left, a jumper by Felton, almost called for a charge, and then you really had a wild sequence after a missed free throw. They did the classic foul up three, and P.J. Haggerty knew it was coming, and they could have legitimately said he was in the act of shooting, didn't call it that way, and East Carolina was able to maintain the lead, salted away from the line, 84-79. Here is some of what Coach had to say to the assembled media just a couple days ago on his team's mindset heading in to the AAC tournament. He was specifically asked, do you still think, you know, the Bulls have to win the whole thing? Of course, the answer is yes, but here was his answer.
Our team is going into this tournament with a mindset of we still got something to prove. We don't forget the fact that they picked us ninth. You know, we don't forget that. He'd probably be mad if I said this, but as his teammate said upstairs, we're not going to forget the fact that Cason Pryor, who averaged 14-8 on a championship team, was left off the first, second, and third team. We got something to prove, you know, and we don't talk about anything but being where our feet are, about right now, about today, about, you know, we talked about having the purpose, a purpose and energy for our practice today. Our focus is going 1-0. Really, it's going 1-0. We're trying to be 1-0. We're trying to be 1-0 at practice today, and then 1-0 again tomorrow. And then we're trying to go 1-0 on Friday, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. But this team has shown resolve and perseverance all year. They've shown consistency and toughness all year. So even if they don't want to recognize us, you know, as a whole, we still have control of the things that we can control, and that's what we're going to focus on.
So if the Bulls win, that whole possible meeting with Memphis is not going to happen. Why? Because Memphis is out. Could not handle the number 12 seed Wichita State 71-65. That game went right down to the wire. So the Bulls, if they win, will get the Wichita UAB winner. And of course, until the very last game of the regular season, UAB was the only team that had defeated the Bulls in conference play. Last night, just keep an eye out for North Texas. That is a team that is coming off of last year winning the NIT. The last two seasons was one of those teams that, you know, was second in the Conference USA and an outstanding team and probably should have been in the NCAA tournament. Would have been if there was an expanded field. That's another show. North Texas handled Tulane by 10. And then last night, the number 6 seed SMU got beat by Temple 75-60. So today's games, after ours, the Bulls will get the winner of Wichita and UAB. Then tonight, North Texas and FAU. I know FAU's expected to roll through this thing, but we just mentioned the bubble with all the teams winning. If FAU doesn't win tonight, that's no guarantee. Yesterday, if you didn't see, Dayton, who is a team that most people have in the field, was one of the top 4 seeds in the A-10. They all lost, including that Loyola team that the Bulls were pulling for. And by the way, if you were holding out any hope that the Bulls could squeeze in without winning the AAC tournament, it's out the window, because any team that they beat during the regular season, or even Central Michigan, who was one of those early tough losses, they're all out of their conference tournaments. In other words, they did not play any conference champions. And again, a lot of those power conference teams on the bubble are winning their games, including some late last night. So North Texas, FAU, and Temple, not SMU, against Charlotte in the last game tonight. Jim Lighthall and Joy Johnston will be bringing it to you from Fort Worth. I mentioned a team that, again, seems unfair that the Bulls won the regular season championship by 2 games and still have to win the conference tournament. Well, ask Indiana State. They are ranked 50 spots higher than the Bulls in the net, and because they lost to a really good Drake team in the Missouri Valley Conference final, they are right now maybe that first team out and have to just watch all the action this weekend and really bite their nails. It's almost a relief to know that the Bulls don't have to do any nail biting. They just have to win. Well, they might have some nail biters on the court, but it's not going to be on the selection show, which we hope to, on Sunday, have the Bulls' name pop up in. And I'll save my expanding of the field idea and mini diatribe until, well, some other time. But here, let's just focus on the games at hand, starting today, 12:30, airtime for Jim and Joy. We'll be on the air tonight with baseball. We'll give you some highlights of the win on Wednesday and plenty else going on. You got softball, you got track and field, tennis, golf, much more when we come back.